up to yonder, beyond the lights, neon, fluorescent. My essence is something to ponder. Your talent ain't something to squander. Blessed and favored so highly, anointed a portrait I might be. This is that all that podcast featuring Kyrie.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another. I'm gonna just have to stop myself. I am excited today because I have family on the podcast. Hey. Got my blood on the podcast. And just the overall boss. Like, you are somebody that just not even just the family aspect of it, you know, just somebody that I look at in Houston and that I'm really inspired by everything that you do. So let me run off some of your stats right quick. Okay, first of all, we're talking to Kalia Guillory. All right. And let me just read off something. You know, you have inspired companies, Microsoft, Wells Fargo. Like, this is not just little companies. These are like big time companies. And then they call you. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you are on the mayor's advisory board for LGBTQ. Mm-hmm. Big deal.
Because
I have your own day in Houston, which is October 29th.
Come on.
Your own day.
It's wild, ain't it?
I mean, that's a flex. A flex of all flexes. Your foundation, which is the Cynthia A. Guillory Foundation in honor of your mother, that brings ALS awareness. Mm-hmm. Big deal.
Yep.
Big deal.
Huge deal.
Yep. Big deal. And you are the owner and founder of NatBar, which is the first of its kind. So you and I, first of all, that was a short version of your resume. I didn't even, you know, go deep into it. So
you ain't peel back the layer.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Just that. It's like, man, like, you're doing it. You're doing your thing.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate that.
Right. Man. And so I was like, man, what do I want to talk to her about? Because, like, there's so much to talk about. And I was like, we're just going to talk, you know? Because
that's it.
There's so much. So first, I want to ask you this. Your personality it just comes through the screen, comes through your words on social media. And I just want to ask you, what do you think, or where do you think that came from?
Man, like, it started, you probably know what this is. It's family,
yeah.
Right? Like, our family, we say what mm-hmm. we mean what we say. Mm-hmm. We will love on you. And I just grew up in a household where I was inspired to speak my mind. I was inspired to be who I was mm-hmm. at a very early age. And, mm-hmm. you know, when you're from, born and raised, Port Arthur, Texas.
PA, baby, 409.
PA, baby, all right?
Yeah.
We ain't hit thick today.
Yeah.
Two of us.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, back then when I was growing up, I'm mm-hmm. an 80s baby, right?
Right.
And it wasn't necessarily popular or progressive, especially when you think of a small town, for mm-hmm. me to be different. I didn't know I was different. I knew something was different about me. I knew mm-hmm. I was unique, but I didn't know exactly what the difference was.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thank God to my mom, and she rest in power, mm-hmm. that she allowed me just to be me. Like, my family embraced me as I was, you know. Mm-hmm. They was like, oh, she's just a tomboy, like, whatever.
Right.
But I was wearing men's clothes, shopping in the men's department as early as, like, middle school. You
right.
know what I mean? So yeah. It's I think it all stems from my upbringing. I was uprooted to really be comfortable in my own skin. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, society kind of got me in, and then I tried to pretend and wear this mask and pretend to be somebody I'm not. And then mm-hmm. I realized, like, man, bump that mask. I'm going to just be who I am. The people who love me accept me as I am. And then surely I could go into all the spaces and mm-hmm. places and be who
and
I
be
am.
You. Yeah, 100%
so
you.
That's really it. The foundation is just family and then just being comfortable in my own skin.
Mm-hmm. Which is very important because especially in, you know, you come from a small town.
Right.
And it's predominantly African-American.
Right.
And if you look at our views mm-hmm. on, you know, homosexuality and all that, is like very, and, you know, a lot of parents, shout outs to your parents, you know, would in that situation try to force you.
Right.
Girl, you need to put on a dress. You need to do this. You need to do that.
Right.
That's where a lot of our culture, you know, that's how we operate.
Totally.
You know, in that realm. So for you to have that upbringing to where you're like, hey, you know, do you? I'm pretty sure it's like you just said, it's very, very important to making you who you are today.
So absolutely.
Very important.
100%. Yeah. Shout out to the Navo family. Shout out to the Roberts family.
Yeah.
Like, that's the stem of it right there.
Right. So your early aspirations, as a young woman, what were they?
Like, I just wanted to hang the moon. I wanted to play in the WNBA. Hoops, you know. I hooped
to be Cheryl
in
Swoops.
High school. Yeah, man. Like, I wanted to be the remodeled, renewed version of Cheryl Swoops. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Like, I watched her just roll people up at mm-hmm. Texas Tech. Like, I used to watch and record her tapes. This was back when VHS was a thing. Mm-hmm. You probably don't remember that.
A little bit before your time.
Yeah. But that's how I would watch tape.
Yeah.
And then I would go. I would watch Hakeem the Dream. Mm-hmm. I would watch all my favorite players and just mimic it. But that was my aspiration. I wanted to play in the
WNBA. You played college ball, right?
I did, yeah. University of Central Florida. Go Knights.
Yay.
Yeah, man. Team captain of my team, you know, man. And then, you know, played. And mm-hmm. then my mother was diagnosed with ALS my mm-hmm. senior year in college. And I had to make the decision, like, what am I going to do, you know? Because mm-hmm. it was literally in the middle of my season when I found out. I came home for 3 days for Christmas break. Because mm-hmm. when you play basketball in college, we were D1 school, you're playing in a tournament. So
right.
I was literally flew in on Christmas Eve, spent Christmas Day, and then the next day, first flight out, because we had a tournament. Mm-hmm. And that's when I found out my senior year, my mother had this terminal disease. ALS is also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Mm-hmm. For people who are listening that might not know about it, shuts down all the muscle memory and your body. So your brain is still ticking and processing everything that it needs to, but your body is literally wasting away. You're watching yourself die.
Right.
Very cruel disease. No cure for it. So I found out my mother was diagnosed with this disease on my break. And I flew back to school, met with my college coach and said, hey, my mother is dying and there's no cure for this. And the life expectancy is 12 to 18 months. I don't know how much longer she has. And my coach, I will never forget, she looked at me, she said, you will remain on scholarship, you will remain the team captain, but you need to go and be with your mom.
Wow.
I literally went to my apartment, got in my car, threw a bag together, got in my car, and drove from Orlando, Florida to Port Arthur, Texas, and got home like the wee hours of the night. I scared my mom. She was like, wait, what are you?
Girl, what you
who's
doing?
Who's this, right? And I'm so happy I did that because, you know, she passed away in November of that same year. So I was able to spend some really quality time with my mom. So, you know, my dream, my aspiration had to pivot. It had to shift because at that point it was like, all right, well, yeah, I majored in communication, so mm-hmm. I thought, all right, so I could hoop in the summertime, and then my day job would be on-air personality.
Right.
I interned at the local radio station.
Yeah.
Like, it was done. Yeah. I had a job offer for mm-hmm. the radio station because I interned there.
Right.
And then life dealt me a different set of cards and, mm-hmm. you know, went to the job fair on campus, and Target was on campus and mm-hmm. offered me executive leadership position.
Wow.
And had no idea what I was doing, but mm-hmm. I figured it out. I was managing people. They thought that, you know, basketball management and leadership would translate into corporate America. And then mm-hmm. that was kind of it. My career just took off from there.
Right. Did you have any difficulties in that transition, right? Because this is your dream, right? You want to be a basketball player, you know, you had the on-air personality dreams, and so you had everything figured out. And then on top of your mom, passing.
That part.
Then you're like, okay, I'm in this, like, limbo here. It's like, dang. So even though Target did, you know, extend that offer to you, talk about the transition period, because, you know, a lot of people out there are having to transition from, especially with COVID, you know, you don't know, you know, some people's livelihood mm-hmm. or what they're used to doing for mm-hmm. a career has been taken away. So now they have to find something else to do. So talk about that transition, how you transitioned, and any tips that you might have for somebody who is transitioning.
It was a tough transition, you mm-hmm. know, like if I can go back and tell 21 year, because when I walk through the timeline with mm-hmm. you, I graduated in May from college. I celebrated my 22nd birthday in October, and then the week before Thanksgiving, my mother died.
Man.
So, you know, just for a 21, 22-year-old, that's just a lot to process, period.
Right.
So my transition was, I was depressed. I mm-hmm. gained 50 pounds. You know, I was working at Target from May up until my mother passed away, so months.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back to work too fast because I was in my head. I was like, man, I got these bills. I got to pay. Like, I'm new in this job.
Mm-hmm.
And then the HR rep, you know, I think it was right after Thanksgiving, and we were sitting in a circle, and the store manager was going around and said, hey, how was everybody's Thanksgiving? And then I was standing right next to the HR representative in the mm-hmm. building, and he got to me, and I think he realized, like, oh, her Thanksgiving probably was not too great.
Right.
She literally just lost her mama. Mm-hmm. Like. And so the HR rep pulled me aside and was like, honey, I think this is too soon. I don't think you need to be back at work. And I don't know if you realize, but your benefits covers you for grievance. Like, mm-hmm. you know, go and grieve.
Yeah.
And so she, and one of the requirements for me to still continue to be paid while I was grieving is that I would have to go and see a counselor, a therapist. Probably one of the best things that probably could have happened. And couple that with my sister, my older sister, who flew down from Philadelphia, because I was just sitting on the couch and I went dark. I mentioned I had gained 50 pounds. I was watching TV. I was doing all these things because the transition was tough.
Right. And there's things that, that's not normally you. You're an athlete. You're used to working out, you know, being in great shape.
Yeah. And then so now I got like this tie around my waist. And then like I don't feel good because I'm eating stuff that's, I'm not eating the things that I'm normally eating.
Right.
And my mental health isn't good. Like it's just, it just wasn't a good time. So long story short, my sister came, flew down. Literally came to the couch and was like, get off the couch. Like, we're getting you into therapy. Like, this has got to stop. You know, like, mom sacrificed way too much for you to play small. So I would say, to go back to your original question, to help with the transition, therapy matters. Like, you have got to get in touch with your emotional, your masculine, your feminine energy, like, all the things. And also do some inner child work, right? Yeah. Like, there's so much stuff that happens that we don't remember, it, that we remember as kids, and we don't realize that are impacting us as adults.
Very much.
So I had the opportunity. I've been in, I've clocked over 100,000 hours now in therapy because I started so early, right?
Right.
I'm 22. You figure I'm 41, about to be 42 next month. So I've clocked a ton of hours, and I've consistently been in therapy throughout that time. Like right now, my with just everything that you mentioned earlier, that's a lot to juggle for one person, right? And a lot of times people say, how do you keep your sanity? I have an incredible tribe. I have a therapist. I have a healer. I have an executive coach. I have a spiritual a spiritual advisor. Like, I have a team of folks. So the transition, when you're transitioning, you got to make sure your tribe matches your vibe. And there's people who are subject matter experts who know exactly where you're trying to go and can help you reroute if you need to, who can help you navigate the blueprint of life. Whenever you feel like you might be going to the left or going to the right, like, hey, you got to keep straight, and I see you about to fall off. Like, when was the last time you've been to the gym? When was the last time you meditated? When was the last time you talked to your sister? When was the last time you checked on your aunt? Like, just telling you all these things that you might forget to do when you're in the middle of a transition.
Right.
But therapy is it, man. I would say start with therapy. And be clear on what you want to do. Not necessarily what society or your family or... Or you can do it for money. Like, yeah, money is important, but like, what is it that really gets you fired up?
Right.
Go and tackle that.
And do that. Hey, we're on the same page. At what point in your new career did you realize, like, I'm pretty good at this?
well, napping. Yeah, listen, I've been an avid napper since kindergarten, right? Like, I'm almost certain I was the baby that they probably didn't have to worry about me sleeping too much.
Hold on. Before we get to nap bar, I was talking about how did you
speaking? or corporate America too? Like,
one? Corporate. Well, because you know, you did the Target, then you was, you know,
and then I moved into financial, financial services.
Right. When did you really find your groove and all that?
When I left.
Yeah.
So I, when I transitioned from retail to, I did a stint in financial services. I was working for an insurance company. And then my sister actually got tired of me calling her to borrow money because the position I was working in as a financial advisor was 100% commission. Oh, I was 23, young green bean. So 1 month I'll make 10 grand and ball, literally ball till I fall.
Yeah.
Like, all the things. And then the next month, I might make $500.
Yeah.
And I literally had just bought a house. And so the months where I made $500, I'm calling my sister. I was making more $500 months than $10,000 months.
Right.
And I wasn't saving my money because that's another key. Like, financial literacy is a thing, especially in BIPOC community. You got to do better with our money.
Yep.
So my sister got tired of me calling her asking for money to pay my mortgage every month. She was like, you need a job with stability that's going to pay you a check every 2 weeks.
Right.
She said, hey, my banker told me that Wachovia Bank is opening up in Texas. Here's the information. Go to the George O. Brown Convention Center and get an interview. So I went down there, interviewed on spot, did a second round of interviews. And then the next month, I found myself sitting in personal banker class.
Man.
And then from there, I was like, all right, this is kind of legit. Like, I actually like this. This is like a really cool environment because I love sales and I love customer service experience. It's like the marriage between two.
Right.
Did that for like 3 or 4 years. Key point here that I'm about to make is that I had a mentor and sponsors who, you know, when I say mentors, these are people I spoke to every day. Sponsors are folks who were talking about me when I wasn't in the room.
Right.
And it comes from my motto, right? Like, why duplicate mediocrity when you can borrow genius? So when I was sitting at the feet of my sponsors and my mentors, they were teaching me all the things I needed to learn about business and financial services and just how mm-hmm. to be a banker. And my mentor turned into my sponsor, and then every time he got promoted, he promoted me.
Right.
So in 14 years, I climbed the corporate ladder exponentially. I was a VP at 27, 28, I became VP. And when, let's keep it a buck. Like, yeah. you know, financial services is not a lot of people that look like me who made VP in their 20s. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it really was the fact that I was in my flow, and I thought, I'm going to retire from banking. Like, this is it. Like, right. this is the life. You know,
yeah, because that's a great job.
A great job. Like, I was making great money. Right. I had great benefits. Like, mm-hmm. all was well. I was getting promoted on, yeah. I mean, type of promotions to where I didn't even, like, people were tapping me. Like, yeah. hey, you need to look at this position. It's not like, you know, right. like, oh, I'm ready for my next promotion. But, you know, I realized one morning when I was in my last position, I was traveling 85% of the time. I was working 85 plus hours a week. I was traveling 75% of the time. Mm-hmm. I woke up one morning and I was like, this can't be it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm generating millions and millions and millions, at this point, billions of dollars for a company. And don't get me wrong, I enjoyed my time working in corporate America. I use my transferable skills every day as an entrepreneur, but right. I just wasn't fulfilled. I was at the intersection where my satisfaction no longer met my contribution. And I woke up and I laid in bed that morning and I was like, something's got to give.
Yeah.
And I came to the realization that my ladder was leaning against the wrong building. See, in order for me to feel to
you hitting us
fulfilled,
with some quotes.
Yeah, man, I'm dropping you some sound bites. Yeah. <'cause>. yeah. You know, like my ladder literally was leaning against the wrong building, and in order for me to fulfill my why, and my why is to allow generational curses to die with my parents, and I'm gonna birth a generation of wealth. Wealth in not just monetary, but wealth in innovation, yeah. wealth in creativity, wealth in generosity. If I'm to do that, I can't continue showing up and working 85 plus hours at this building.
Right.
So I literally took that ladder that was leaning against the building mm-hmm. and drug it across the way and said, you know what? In order for me to fulfill this, I got to get a building that has my name on it, my vision and values, my company's ethos. And I know what I need to do. And then I leaned my ladder against this said building. Mm-hmm. And then that was it, man. Like,
I have a question. Everything just because I'm always interested to see, you know, when people branch out and, you know, people like us, mm-hmm. we have these ambitions and, you know, this creativity and these ideas. And people will be like, so I'm pretty sure when you told people around you, maybe like, hey, I'm leaving this job, this great job to go do my own thing. They was like, what?
I was like, wait, what? Are you
crazy?
KG, are you good?
Yeah.
When's the last time you've been to therapy?
Right. I'll book you a session myself.
Right,
go on.
Right. I'll drive you. Get
right.
in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. No, it was real talk. It was mm-hmm. I lost a couple of friends when I transitioned because I realized that I had to stop sharing to protect my creative energy. Mm-hmm. I had to stop sharing my vision with folks who didn't have the capacity to understand my greatness, right?
Yes,
like,
yes.
that was my download that mm-hmm. he, she, they, whoever people right. believe in gave to me. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was God. God gave me this download to start my company and
right.
to navigate the way that I had. So who am I to expect people who didn't get the same download to understand it?
Right.
So when I say I lost friendships, I did, because I was sitting at dinner with one of my friends, and I was telling her, like, hey, I'm excited. I'm about to do this, this, and that. She was like, wait, you're going to leave? You leaving the bank to do that? That mm-hmm. doesn't really make any sense. Instead of saying, like, you know what?
Like, all right, let's do it.
This is different.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily understand it, but I support you. What do you need from
right.
me? You know? And so, like, after
you
that.
You do get hurt by that because you're telling people stuff, and they just seem to.
They just minimize it.
Dude, like, I don't need this.
Right.
I don't need this around me.
Right, at all. Like, you really, truly have to protect your
energy. You have to. It's so important.
Because the vultures will come and try to feed on it, and then you look up, and then your energy, you vibing low, and you're like, I can't operate at this capacity to be great.
Right, exactly. And then it's just people putting, because they don't feel like they can achieve it.
Right.
So
they have the limitations.
They have the limitations.
So now they're projecting on me.
Right. It's like, if you're fine being, that's you. But
cool.
don't put that on me because I want to be great. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So that's you.
Absolutely.
So I totally 100% feel you on that. So, all right, we're leaving the bank.
We're leaving the bank.
Where are we going from there?
so in that moment, I said, okay, this Nap Bar hadn't even been an idea.
Right.
So when I said, okay, I'm going to leave the bank and I'm going to start up my own speaker boutique.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be a firm where clients, corporations, large-scale businesses can come in, and I will personally hold their hand with speaking, with workshops, facilitating workshops, with assembling diversity, equity, and inclusion boards inside of their company so that they can have a more diverse corporate social responsibility when it comes to diversity, inclusion, and equity.
Gotcha.
And I did that. So I dubbed myself a corporateur. So I had one foot in corporate America, another foot in entrepreneurship. Told my manager at the time, my leader at the time, hey, I'm moonlighting. I opened up my own speaker boutique. This is what I'm doing. So when you see me coming in, like actually using my PTO now, because that's a whole thing. Like I would roll over so many days and weeks to the next year because I wouldn't take any vacation.
Right.
We got to reverse and engineer that. Like we get this time off for a reason. Take it.
Yeah.
Got mental days. Take it. And so I was like, hey, I'm gonna be out more. And he was like, all right, cool. So he supported me. So when you mentioned earlier in the intro that I spoke at Wells Fargo, I still was working at Wells Fargo when I was commissioned to speak at Wells Fargo.
Crazy.
So yeah, it's crazy, especially whenever you figure I got rewarded for being transparent, right? Mm-hmm. I got rewarded because I wasn't trying to do anything under the table or be sneaky about anything. Like I was like, hey. And I would love to work with you guys. Like, how do we make this thing happen?
Yeah.
And from there, it just grew. Man. Like, it's boom. Like, on the way here, I got a message. Hey, what are your available dates in October? October, I think I already booked 3 engagements.
Wow.
Which is crazy, right?
Wow.
It was just a whole blessing, too, because it just means that people need to get more wellness talks, more inclusion talks, and more equity talks.
Let me interject before I get to my next question.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm gathering 2 things so far myself listening to you speak. One, the importance of a village.
Absolutely.
You know, you hear the quote of, you know, children, you know, it takes a village to raise a child, but adults need a village too.
Absolutely.
And so your village has been so important to your success, and it's that some people want to do everything by themselves. They don't want anybody involved. They're afraid of collaboration. They want all the credit and all this. You're making the role way harder for yourself.
Absolutely.
So, guys, that's one thing I'm paying attention to is the importance of having like-minded and people who are more experienced in something you're trying to do around you, and just people who genuinely want to see you succeed. So that's what I'm seeing. And number 2, I want to ask you, have you realized, because I'm listening to you talk, have you realized that everything that's been happening in your life is a flow. It's like pushing you to the next spot. It's crazy.
Absolutely.
I read, my favorite book is The Alchemist.
Listen, I just finished listening to it for the 3rd time.
Yeah.
2-3
You have to
ago.
Read it every year.
Because especially whenever I do it with milestone birthdays or when something happens.
So yeah.
I'm like, oh, let me go and see what my new thought process is on this.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I'm thinking about your life right now because just how everything is put, even like, I'm trying to figure out how to word this. Not that your mother had to die for you to, you know what I mean? But her death was also a push.
It was.
It was a push until this.
I don't know if I would have been this hungry if she still was alive because
I
still would have had a crutch. I would have still had a fallback
person.
You know
what
I mean? I might not have been this hungry because all of my motivation comes from making her proud.
Right.
So she was here, but like I have her legacy attached to
exactly.
me.
Exactly. You
spot on, cousin. You spot on. And, you know, the tribal diversity, I'll go back to that. You talked about how important that is. And I say tribal diversity, and you really hit the nail on the head with, for me, my folks, if you look at them, it's people who don't look anything like me. They don't come from where I come from because I honor that their experience has been different than mine. I believe in operating in my genius. And so I stay in my lane, and I definitely defer, and I believe in allowing creatives to operate in their genius.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's something, an area of opportunity that's in my core competencies, I will delegate that bad boy to the expert and trust what they're telling me to do.
Right.
So I think that's a big thing, too. Sometimes as entrepreneurs, we might have tribal diversity, but it takes a village to raise a business, too.
Yeah.
Like
for sure.
You can't do it. You can't be effective and in a great mental place if you are the only person wearing all these multiple hats. Now don't get me wrong, I wear
very
multiple
overwhelmed.
Hats.
Yeah.
But I delegate as well.
Right, for sure. So as a black woman, and as a gay woman, you going into these spaces, what setbacks, if any, or things that you have experienced by being yourself walking into these, I'm sure, predominantly white male rooms?
Pale, male.
have you faced?
Oh, man. The first thing that just popped in my mind was the experience that happened right before COVID. Mm-hmm. So we were inside the Galleria Mall for Nap Bar. We were, you know, exploring, you know, expanding. And for the sake of just being professional, I'll just say this office building that is a well-known office building here in Houston. Most people would die to be in this office space. I met with the CFO of the office building with another friend of mine. You named it. You nailed it. The guy I was meeting with, that's the CFO, white, probably mid-60s, good old boy. Yeah. And then my boy, who actually made the introduction, who's one of my partners, he's a Jewish guy, my age, right? In his 40s.
Yeah.
So we walk into the meeting. The gentleman that we were meeting with, the owner of the building, he didn't give me any eye contact. So immediately I already knew. Yeah. I already knew what it was.
You already knew what was up.
And so we go into the meeting, and all of his questions regarding Nap Bar was directed to my friend, the Jewish guy. And so my friend kept, like, he noticed it spot, like, immediately. And he was like, hey, actually, you remember, like, and during the introduction, like I told you, Kalia is here to talk about all things Nap Bar. So if you have any questions regarding Nap Bar, directed to Kalia.
Yeah.
Never looked at me, never nothing. Wow. And so I just kind of leaned in. I was like, you can look at me. This is my business. He doesn't know my business better than me. This is my business. And halfway through, and listen, this is like a one of my, it was on, it's on my manifestation board. Like, I want to be in this office building. But in that moment, I said, I can't do business with someone who's going to treat me this way, because then that means if he's going to treat me this way as someone that he potentially can do a collaboration or a partnership with, how is he treating other people who are in this space who look like me? So for me, it was a no. And it's still going to be a no until there's a change in leadership, if the opportunity runs back around. But it's so funny because no one knew. This was in February. COVID really wasn't a topic of conversation at the beginning of February. Heck, I still was traveling in February and I hadn't even heard of it. But it's funny how things happen, because I was like, oh, and I was bummed. I was like, oh, man, I really, this would have been so good. I really want to be in this corporate setting. It would have been perfect. It's in my business plan. I could have, this was another niche, notch in my milestone.
Right.
And then COVID hit, and I was like, oh, man, thank God.
Yeah, thank God you didn't get that. Once again, the flow.
Boom, the
Everything's flow.
Yeah. It flows. It's like sometimes we get caught up in, like, our will, but we got to make sure that it's aligned, you know? And and that wasn't really a loss for me. That was a massive win.
Massive.
And sometimes we got to get out of it to see the win. Because in my mind, in that time, it was like, oh, this is a huge loss. But I can't, I have to operate in integrity and stay true to who I am. And if you don't want to do business with who I am as a person, fine. I will go find someone who's excited about doing business with me.
Right. Wow.
Crazy,
that's
right?
Not even eye contact.
Zero. To where I was like, hello.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I'm right here.
Wow. So how did we get to Nap Bar? How did that idea come about? Because it's very unique. When I first saw you posted on Facebook, I was like, wow, that's an interesting idea. So how did that come about?
So I mentioned earlier I was working 85-plus hours, traveling 75% of the time, still getting my nap on. I was napping in unused conference rooms, cars, the uncomfortable chairs at the airport, you name it. And so at the time, my then wife, now my ex-wife, we were commuting. We both were entrepreneurs and still working in corporate America. We lived out in the burbs. So anytime we had business in the city, we would carpool.
Right.
So it's about 1 o'clock. We had a break in our day. I'm looking at her and she's like, why you keep looking at me? I'm like, well, it's like my nap time and I normally nap in the car, but you in the car, that might be a little weird. And she's like, well, Google places to nap in Houston. This is Houston. Surely there's a place you could pop in and go and take a nap. And I was like, all right, you know what? You're right. 60 seconds later, Kyrie, I was like, looked at her with disgust. She was like, what's wrong? I was like, can you believe this is Houston? There's no place, no said place exists.
Right.
And she looked at me and she was like, well, you should create it. And I was like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, no one, I'm the only adult that's out here napping. No one's going to pay me to take a nap in the middle of the day. That night, I could not sleep because just the possibility of the idea just kept rummaging around in my head. So I woke up, it's the wee hours of the night, went to the office, and I'm just researching, like, all right, I know I'm a napper, but, like, why does this make sense? And then I stumbled upon this quote by NASA, mm-hmm. and NASA did a study on sleepy military pilots and astronauts and found that a 26-minute nap improved their productivity and alertness by up to 34% and 54%. And I was like, all right, so I'm jumping up and down in the office. I was like, all right, that's it. It's scientifically proven. Now I understand why I've been so productive. I mean, because right. I napped. I became the like a legit napper in college. Because when you're playing D1 ball, you still got a full.
Your schedule is crazy.
Mm-hmm. I'm up at 5 a.m. doing sprints on the football field. And then like 9 to 2, I'm in the classroom. And then right. I got to work out again. So, I mean, a power nap, the art of power napping was my thing. And so then I realized, well, this is the reason why I've been super productive, even as an adult, is because I believe in taking naps.
Right.
So the next day, I went to Facebook. I did a poll. I said, okay, out of all my friends out here, who's taking the nap? I am. I was like, all right, cool. Another poll. Well, if you took a, if there was a safe haven where you can go on your lunch break that's around the corner or inside your office building, would you go and take a nap? There was like, absolutely. 99% of my folks were responding. So then I was like, all right, well, how much would you pay for said nap? They told me. I said, okay, well, what else would you want there? Aromatherapy, candles, like brainwaves, like what do you want? Mm-hmm. Literally over a course of probably 6 to 8 weeks, I created my business plan, not based on what Kalia O'Guillory wanted, but what the masses wanted.
Right.
Because I knew I had to solve a problem, mm-hmm. not just a problem for me, but a problem for the masses. And so $411 billion U.S. economic loss due to sleep deprivation.
Man.
So the U.S. lost $411 billion, I'm saying billion
yeah.
dollars because folks were calling off from work because they were tired. So I was like, okay, if I could solve that,
right,
I'm good.
Right.
Yeah, so that's really how NapBar was found. And then the idea came to me April 2018. Well, my ex-wife and I had that conversation April 2018. Mm-hmm. November 2018, I chunked the deuce to corporate America. I retired.
Yeah.
April 2019, I opened up my beta test in Rice Village for 5 months. We went through 3 rounds of our MVP, the minimal viable product, because mm-hmm. those pods you see on our website, those that's all intellectual property that I own. So right. it's all custom.
What is the Beyonce and Astros,
yeah.
Texans?
Look at you. Yeah. The NASA.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's we own all that because they're right. custom suites. And, mm-hmm. and so, you know, we did 5 months of that to make sure we got it right. And then we actually did our grand opening inside the Galleria Mall, mm-hmm. November 2019. And then we were there through March when COVID happened.
Right.
So, I mean, realistically, we were only open 4 months.
Yeah.
We really were only open 4 months before the pandemic hit. And so when I think about the traction that we've made, especially mm-hmm. the pivots that we had to do, you'll probably be asking me about this here in a second. Like, what did 2020 look like?
Yep.
You know, it was interesting.
Yeah. So give us some science behind you gave us the nap science, but a lot of people, a lot of entrepreneurs especially, have this belief.
Oh, you about to hit it.
And you can hear it in rap music.
It's
you
team
know,
no
you
sleep.
Can, I sleep when I die. Oh. You know, I'm out here. And we always have this belief that we got to be up. We got to, if you're sleeping too late, you got, you know, all this. We have this belief that sleep equals laziness.
Right.
Tell us the science behind that to.
It's a terrible stigma.
Yeah.
Well, let me break this part down.
Okay.
This is like actually one of my favorite questions that I'm asked mm-hmm. all the time.
Okay.
When you think about that culture, it's in BIPOC culture. It's people who look like us.
Right.
And when we really, if we really think about it, it's a braggadocious culture
mm-hmm.
because I'll get nerdy here in a second on why you should want to sleep
mm-hmm.
because there's so many things that happen to your body that you need to happen to your body mm-hmm. while you take a nap or when you actually taking sleep. But we go back to the beginning of time. Our ancestors were told when to sleep. They were told like, oh, you could go and rest now.
Right.
Now you fast forward the tape, we can rest and sleep on demand when we choose to.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I hear people say, oh, well, or they brag about this braggadocious culture about, hey, I haven't slept in like 2 days.
Yeah.
I've been working on this paper and I'm like, and we're like giving them honor and pats on the back and attaboys for not sleeping. I'm thinking, that's enslaved mentality.
Yeah.
Because we come from a lineage of folks who were told when they could rest, but we can, so we're choosing not to rest. Like, it's right. almost a slap in our ancestors' mm-hmm. face for the sacrifices they had to make.
Right.
And so for me, we came up with this whole concept because we can literally choose on demand when we can rest.
Mm-hmm.
And the science behind that, to get to your question, the science behind taking sleep, and I say taking sleep and being really intentional about it, CDC, per the CDC guidelines, you should get 7 to 9 hours of sleep.
Right.
The reason why you want to do that is because when you go to sleep and you're getting between 7 to 9 hours, there's this thing called rapid eye movement.
Mm.
Inside of rapid eye movement, that's where the downloads of the memory from the day are downloaded in your body. The brain is being repaired. A lot of people who stay up, especially folks in our culture, they're like, oh, I've been up for 2 days.
Yep.
Well, what did you eat for breakfast this morning?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can't even remember. You can't remember a thing because you haven't gone to sleep to have at least 4 REM cycles so that your brain can download the memories of the day.
Hmm.
You know, sleeping, quality sleep and napping has been proven to boost your immune system. So especially in our community, there's a lot of talk about still with the vaccine. Oh, I'm not taking the vaccine. Mm-hmm. Da, 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 da. Okay, I'm not here to debate if you're going to take the vaccine or not. But
right.
what I am going to say is if you don't choose or if you do choose to take the vaccine, you should still make sure you're getting adequate restorative sleep at night
mm-hmm.
and or working in a nap every once in a while, 2 to 3 days a week. I personally nap every single day. But when you do that, you're boosting your immune system.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what's going to happen.
Right.
You know? So there are so many things, you know, regular sleep as well as getting a good dose of vitamin D. There's so many things that we can do to reduce cardiovascular disease, to mm-hmm. minimize the chances for cancer, to diabetes. These are all the things
right.
that are plaguing our community, but yet we don't do what we can control
mm-hmm.
to give ourselves a fighting chance to have longevity in our life, to have a healthy life.
Right.
I read an article on Harvard Business Review, and it said they did a white paper on napping.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out that when you take consistent naps throughout your lifetime, it adds an extra 5 years on your lifespan.
Wow.
So I'm like,
it just makes sense. Take a nap.
It's all scientifically proven.
Right.
You know? So why not?
Right. And I always say, you know, to people, it's like, you got to be up. I was like, it's not when you wake up, because I feel like a lot of people wake up early, but don't do anything really. And don't do anything productive.
Right.
And a part of that could be the fact that they're not getting enough sleep.
They don't have restorative sleep.
Exactly. And so now that you said that, I'm thinking about it. But yeah, people will just be up to be up. Like, I was up. You know what I mean?
Just to say you're up.
Right.
Like, no, I want to be up and be productive.
Exactly. Exactly. When I could, okay, you woke up at 6. I woke up at 10. But when I woke up, I was ready to go. Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's not really when you wake up. It's what you do while you're awake.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's so mm-hmm. I'm so happy you said that because mm-hmm. even like couples, like with my partner, like she's up between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning.
Man.
But for her business, mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Yeah.
There's no reason for me to be up that early because I'm making phone calls, I'm doing conference calls. Nobody's meeting with me at 4 a.m. in
right.
the morning. You know what I mean? So, and for me, I need my 8 hours. My normal sleep wake time is I'm in bed by 10, usually asleep by 11. And then I'm up by 7.
Yeah.
7:30-ish, you know? And then so everybody's got to figure out, like, what do you need to get restorative sleep?
Right.
And then what does that look like? And just because people say you should do this doesn't mean that's what you should do.
Right.
You got to listen to your body.
You have to. It's going to talk to you.
Yeah, it is.
So you brought up COVID, and your life is full of pivots, right?
That's it.
Pivots. Pivots.
Middle
pivots.
Name is Pivot.
Yeah. Khalil P.
Khalil P. Make him say,
So you brought up 2020, and so obviously that was another pivot for you and your business. So talk about that and that, how you had to figure out, okay, what to do next.
Yeah, man. So COVID hit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a true extrovert, just in case you haven't noticed, right? I get my energy recharged by being out in the world, meeting, networking, doing all the things,
mm-hmm.
right? And just exploring and connecting with other humans. So whenever we got this whole, we're going to have the stay-at-home order, what they told us was going to be 2 weeks, turns out year plus later, I freaked out a little bit because I was like, well, what am I going to do with myself? This mm-hmm. is crazy. And so I made the conscious decision to unplug from social media for 30 days. I did a 30-day cleanse. I fasted from social media. I made sure I was eating right. I was drinking a ton of water. And I really just got quiet. I got still.
Mm.
And I asked myself,
my favorite Bible verse, be still and know that I'm God. God.
Yep. Because I was like, all right, bro, I need you right now. And I meditated. Mm-hmm. I visualized what I wanted the year to look like because I wasn't sure. It was a lot of uncertainty. And those 30 days of not having to constantly allow some potential negativity from social media come into my space, mm-hmm. it was the best thing I could have done. I journaled. I came up with a plan, visited with the team. And together, collectively, we realized, like, hey, this looks like this is going to continue to be a thing. We probably won't reopen anytime soon. We should do something online, explore mm-hmm. e-commerce. Came up with the Better Sleep Box. We were committed to making sleep sexy again. Mm-hmm. And so inside of the box, we included your nap bar experience as if you were still inside of the nap bar.
Gotcha.
So white label. And that's kind of crazy, right? Mm-hmm. How in my business plan, I said, all right, year 3 to 5, I'll come out with my own white label products. Stuff that makes sense for sleep, you know, pillow mists and candles and essential oils and all this stuff. And then when COVID hit, I was like, let me pull out this business plan. What can I do?
Yeah.
I was like, well, I guess I could do some products now. This makes sense.
Yeah.
So right label, soy-based candle, vegan pillow mist. We came up with some exclusive brainwaves that were created and curated by a good friend of mine, Dr. Kwanzaa Pinckney. She's an MD, board-certified physician, but she's also a DJ on the side.
Wow.
And so she came up with these mixes.
Range.
Yeah, man, serious range.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that was, like, one of the biggest things that we got in our beta test. People mm-hmm. loved these brainwaves because they're rhythmic beats that mm-hmm. engage your frontal lobe, and they naturally release melatonin in your body by up to 97%.
Right.
So you get the download of that inside the box, and then sleep tips. And so we just marketed the heck out of that, put it on social media, and I found myself selling wholesale to Dow Chemical, selling to all these other corporations because they understood that their employees now are having to adjust by working from home. See, like a year before I left corporate America, there were some budget cuts, and I went from traveling 75% of the time to traveling 25% of the time, but I was working predominantly from home. They gave up my office space. So I knew what that transition was, and it was a tough one.
Right.
And so that's how I pitched it to these corporations. You need this box to send it to your employees because they're having a tough time right now. Mm-hmm. And when you, on top of that, you add Google Trends came out with a report, and in April of 2020, it was the most searched Google word was insomnia, COVID. So I said, okay, COVIDsomnia, what are we doing? And we just kind of blasted that out. Said, if you got COVIDsomnia, purchase this. It will help you get better quality sleep at night.
Man.
Because, I mean, the bedroom became everything. The bedroom.
Yeah, you were there most of the time.
it was your workstation.
Right.
It was the daycare. It was the lunchroom. It was all these things. And most people don't realize this, but mm-hmm. your brain knows when you're in your bedroom.
Right.
It knows when it's an indicator that, hey, we're in a dark space. We should be getting ready for sleep. But if you go in your bedroom and now you're working, your kid's crying, you're eating, your brain is confused. It's like, well, wait, am I supposed to be asleep
right
in here? Like, what's happening?
Exactly.
So it's just a way for us to be able to help people reprocess their brain to know that it's time for us to rest here.
Is there any plans to reopen storefront since, you know, things are starting to kind of open back up now? And
Sure is, man. Right. So stay tuned, stay posted. Make sure you guys are following us on Insta. I'm sure Kyrie will drop the handles there. But and also subscribe to our newsletter. It's at natbarnow.com. That way you could be the first to know when mm-hmm. we reopen. The goal is by the end of this year. And
gotcha.
That's coming very, very soon. Yeah.
So I want to lastly ask you about this. I can't let you go without asking you about the Cynthia A. Guillory Foundation.
Yes.
And just talk about the work that you've done, things. I know you do a lot of work in the community, giveaways, all kind of stuff. So just kind of, you know, tell the viewers about the foundation.
Man, the foundation, if I could just do the foundation, life would be made for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I just have all these other different avenues that I'm passionate about.
Right.
But it's just a way for me to honor my mother's legacy. Mm-hmm. So how it got started, the backstory. The Cynthia A. Guillory Foundation was started way back when. So I would say when I was probably 8 or 9 years old,
mm-hmm.
we went to Central Mall in Port Arthur.
Yeah.
And there was this huge Christmas tree. And this year was a little different. There were names on the ornaments. So I asked my mom, I was like, hey, why are there names on the ornaments? She's like, oh, those are families in our community that are probably having a tough time and they need some support with making Christmas and providing Christmas for their family.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know what? While you and your sister are doing your shopping, go and grab an ornament and you shop for a family. And that literally, that was when the Cynthia Guillory Foundation was born.
Right.
We didn't do anything with it, but that's a tradition of giving and a tradition of give back that mm-hmm. was instilled in me early on.
Right.
And so every year after that, we always did some type of some form of a give back. So fast forward to 2002 on my mom's deathbed. I mean, let me take a step back. My mom was the mom where she would give you the shirt off her back, mm-hmm. right? Like, our house was the house where I had friends that came and lived with us if they had a rough time at home. My sister had friends that would come and live with us if they had a tough time at home. Like, mm-hmm. that was just the house we grew up in.
Right.
And there was never a stranger. And mm-hmm. and it was the house she cooked. My mom was a great cook. Mm-hmm. So if she had food, you could come and eat.
Yeah.
It was just like, that was the vibe. And so when you fast forward to 2002, on her deathbed, I made her a promise. I said, hey, I'm going to continue your legacy. Like, it's going to carry on through me with the give back and all that. And so I went dark for a couple of years. So mm-hmm. So 2002, 2011, I founded the Cynthia A. Guillory Foundation. We're committed to spreading ALS awareness. Because mm-hmm. back then, you got to remember, 2002, no one was like, wait, what? What's this? And then the Ice Bucket Challenge came along. And folks were like, oh, all right, you dump a bucket on your head. That's for this foundation. Mm-hmm. All right, cool.
Yeah.
And so, you know, 2011, we did our first give back where we provided gifts and toys for underrepresented families in the Port Arthur area. Mm-hmm. And then it just grew. I mean, we're in our 10th year. That's crazy.
Man, wow.
Last year, for the past 2-3 years, we partnered up with Walmart and we paid off Lelways. Last year, specifically, our best year yet, coincidentally, it was inside of one of the most challenging years in mm-hmm. humanity. And we raised the most money, paid off over 130 Lelways at Walmart for folks here in the Sharpstown area.
Wow.
Shout out to Edward Powell, Councilmember Edward Powell. We did it at District J specifically because that's the most underrepresented and underserved community here mm-hmm. in Houston. And just to be able to pay off a $100 Lelway for someone who didn't know where their next paycheck was going to come from, it was just, I'm grateful for that moment.
Right.
I'm grateful for that moment. So,
man,
yeah, man, we do
amazing
give backs for Christmas. Yeah. We, you know, do backpack drives. We do Easter egg give backs. I mean, We do it all. Yeah, we've been a little abbreviated with our give backs just because of COVID, but mm-hmm. you know, we every year you could count on us to definitely do a giving tree around
right.
the holidays.
Man, that's awesome. It really is. I know you're a busy woman. You got things to do, so I'm going to let you get out of here, but I just want to tell you, you have been an inspiration to me. I look at everything you do, and I try to, it's like, all right, you know, even with your foundation, I was like, all right, I could be doing something. So I do stuff, you know? So I'm looking, and I'm not the only one. Other people are watching, so continue to do what you're doing. And viewers, once again, things I've learned just from sitting here doing this interview is the importance of the people around you.
Yep.
Gotta have that village. It's very important. So if you feel like people are draining you, that's around you. If you feel like people are not supporting your dreams, hey, they got to move. You know, get those people around you. Get those mentors around you. Go to therapy.
Yes.
do all that. And secondly, be very aware of the flow. That's what I call the flow. Mm-hmm. And because it's been very present in your life, even to the point to where, like, you know, you had written down the 3 to 5 years you wanted to start selling products. And then God was like, we're going to do that sooner.
Let's do it now.
Yeah, we're going to do it sooner. Let's do it now. You know what I mean? So everything in your life has been about the flow. And so, guys, be very, 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 pay attention. I always say that's your only job in life, really, is to pay attention to everything. So mm-hmm. pay attention to that flow.
That's good.
And just flow in. Don't try to fight it. Just flow in it. Yeah.
Don't fight it. Because I'm guilty of it. I'm like, oh, I'm ready for this to happen. Like, come on,
right.
come on. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
It happens whenever you release it,
yes.
and you surrender to it and allow it to happen.
Yes, you gotta trust.
You gotta trust
that
the
it's
process,
taking you to the right
man.
Place. Yes,
because I mean, I know we gotta go. And it just made me think of this: mm-hmm. how I'm able to do that is because a friend of mine, Michelle Ngome, was on mm-hmm. my podcast show years ago, and I will never forget this. She said, "I've committed to die empty."
Wow.
And that has resonated with me every single day because I literally I've committed to die empty. Meaning that when I take my last breath, all of my dreams will be realized. They'll be out in the world. It'll be attached to my legacy.
Right.
I would have done what I was purposed to do on this mm-hmm. planet. And I don't want all of my dreams to be unrealized, the desires of my heart to still be in my heart while I'm in the graveyard.
Right.
Because imagine like all the dreams that are unfulfilled that are sitting right now in the graveyard. That's a cure for ALS, a cure for cancer, a cure for all these things, because people were just stuck or they were scared and they just couldn't get out of their own way.
Right.
So if I leave them, the listeners, with anything, commit to die empty. Like go and do it right now.
Yeah.
Start the business plan right now. Make
a
call. Do one thing every day that's going to get you closer to that goal.
Right. To bring it back to basketball terms, sleep it all out on the floor.
That's it.
That's what it is. That's what it is. And also, to your point, the last point about, you know, doing it today, people realize that the hardest part is starting.
That's it.
Once you start, that flow that we're talking about will carry you the rest of the way as long as you're showing up every day to put the work in.
That's
so thank you, Kalia.
Thank you for having me. Yeah. This was so good.
It was a great conversation.
You're such a great host. Like, this is your thing. You are in your in the sweet spot.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And to the listeners, I know you learned something. And so just take everything that she said and apply it in some capacity. And I will see you guys next week.
Peace out.
Peace.